Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the January-February issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. When we look at the cover, we see a picture of Miami Heat Jimmy Butler. He looks rather surprised with goggles on his head. I wonder why. Could it have anything to do with the science guy, Bill Nye? Are there sports in alien planets? Well, let's find out. We're going to go right away to the lineup. 2021, January, February, the science of sports. Number 31, Jimmy Butler is more than a great player. He's a chemistry expert, plus more scientific revelations from an astronaut, an angler, and Bill Nye. While others play the field, the stars in these power couples found their Valentines on the field. Find that out on page 20. Page 22, after a lost season at the University of Memphis, James Wiseman is ready to bounce back. Kurt Flood was a great center fielder, but that's not why this trailblazer belongs in the Hall of Fame. Page 42, Phil Mickelson, Clayton Kershaw, Lou Gehrig, they're all legends and they're all lefties. Page 46, what if the best college football team, Alabama, took on the worst NFL squad, the Jets? Page 48. Well, we're going to start on page 2 with freeze frame. And here is a picture of a couple of soccer players from the Jeep in Roquetin. You again? December 8, 2020, Barcelona, Spain. When Juventus met Barcelona in the Champions League, it was the first time Cristiano Ronaldo, far left, faced off against Lionel Messi since 2018 when Ronaldo departed Real Madrid. The Juventus star got the best of his old rival, scoring twice on penalty kicks in a 3-0 win. It was the 36th time the two men went head-to-head. Messi now has 16 wins, Ronaldo has 11, and there have been 9 draws. Going on to our next freeze frame on page 4, yes, indeed. December 12th, 2020, Abu Dhabi, UAE. Lewis Hamilton was in position to go out for a relaxing night drive on the Yas Marina circuit during the final race of the Formula One season. Hamilton had clinched his 7th season championship 4 weeks earlier with a win in the Turkish Grand Prix. His 3rd place finish in the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix was his 14th podium appearance in 16 starts this season. Rum! Who's who? Page 8. First line. Ryan Howard. She's a basketball player for the Kentucky Wildcats. She plays guard. Her height is 6'2". She was born April 29, 2000, her hometown, Cleveland, Tennessee. As a sophomore, Howard was named SEC Player of the Year after averaging 23.4 points and 6.5 rebounds per game. At Bradley Central High in Cleveland, Tennessee, Howard was named Tennessee's Miss Basketball in 2018 and was also the Gatorade Player of the Year. But did you know the Southeastern Conference has had a representative in 28 of the 38 women's Final Fours, 6 more than any other conference. Max Fried, Atlanta Braves, pitcher. For the 2nd straight season, Fried finished 2nd in the National League in wins. He had 17 in 2019 and 7 with no losses in the abbreviated 2020 season. Fried led all National League pitchers in WAR 2.9 last season, and he also won a Gold Glove. His height is 6'4". His weight is 190 pounds. He was born January 18th, 1994 in his hometown was Santa Monica, California. But did you know Fried has a long way to go to become the most decorated fielding pitcher in Braves history? Greg Maddux won 18 gold gloves in his career, including 10 when he was with Atlanta. And finally, Chase Elliott, NASCAR driver. His height is 5'10". His weight is 145 pounds. He was born November 28, 1995, in hometown Dawsonsville, Georgia. By taking the checkered flag in the season finale 500 at Phoenix Raceway, Elliott won the NASCAR Cup Series Championship. He clinched his spot in the playoff final with a dramatic win at Martinsville Speedway a week earlier. Elliott finished the 2020 season with 5 wins, giving him 11 for his 5-year career. But did you know Elliott's father, Bill, was the 1988 NASCAR champion, making them the third father-son duo to win NASCAR titles? Bill won 44 races in his career. Warm-up, page 12. Losing is more fun. So we see here there's a group of fans here, and one of the fans has a bag over their head, number 90 for the Cardinals. Winning is overrated. Sure, stinks for the players. For fans, however, being bad has its advantages. For one thing, there's only one kind of winning that truly satisfies, winning the big one. For better or worse, sports in North America revolve around championships. Teams that make short-sighted moves can always say that flags fly forever. No player, no matter how good, can be the GOAT unless they've got the rings. In fact, rooting for a good team that never goes all the way can be a kind of sports purgatory. The San Jose Sharks have made the playoffs in 21 of their 28 seasons of existence, but have never won the Stanley Cup. The closest they got was in the finals in 2016-2017. Would Sharks fans trade 20 good seasons for one cup? Some probably would. But I'm not here to argue that winning a championship is more fun than not winning. Everyone knows that. I'm here to argue that, in general, fans of bad teams, I mean really bad teams, have more fun than teams that are pretty good. Don't believe me? A post on a prominent Lakers blog announcing the team 2020 NBA championship garnered 372 comments. The article announcing selection of Anthony Edwards first overall on their sister Timberwolves site had 1,067 replies. Okay, that admittedly doesn't prove much. An angry person is more likely to leave a comment on the internet than a happy one. Boy, do I know that. Not every Wolves fan was psyched about the Edwards pick, and they let each other know. The sheer amount of lively debate, however, does say something positive about the experience of pulling for losers. Next time it becomes possible to safely gather a championship parade, take a good look at the crowd. Notice the fleshy starched jersey and the distinct lack of sun-faded caps. Championships are for the bandwagon fans. The diehards championship is the draft. The draft is about possibility and unfalsifiable speculation. The hardcore fan loves to argue that if they're right, but hates to be proven wrong. They love to revel in minutia. Over the course of a regular season, which teams are good becomes apparent very quickly. Depending on the sport, it can take years to find out if a prospect will pan out or bust. That leaves plenty of time for message board arguments about anyone knows who is right. And by that point, everyone has forgotten that particular debate and moved on to discussing the next divisive player. That's the real reason it's fun to root for a terrible team. It's all hope. When a hitter reaches the majors, that first good curveball he sees can reveal all the flaws in his approach. While he's in AA, that player is a vessel for fans' dreams. One scout said he was the wrist strength of Miguel Guerrero. Another said he covers the plate better than Mike Trent. And defensively, he has more range than Kevin Kamara. Few fans exactly ever get to see their team's minor leaguers in action. They only hear the hype and see the gaudy statistics that come from playing against inferior talent. The blank slate optimism applies to an entire franchise when it's truly bad. Diehards don't just root for the players, they root for the front office. When a team is pretty good or even really good, but is stuck with several high-paid players, off-seasons and trade deadlines become boring. If those players start to underperform, rooting for that team can feel like a dead end. The fans are stuck with these underachievers until their deals run out. A rebuilding team, however, has the payroll flexibility and draft capital to do anything. A savvy general manager with an empty roster, a fat wallet, and a bevy of picks is like an NHL sharpshooter on a breakaway. He might not score, but he has the runway to attempt something truly daring and brilliant. That rebuild that does work is a truly sublime fan experience. Winning constantly dulls the senses. It creates spoiled supporters. Can you appreciate the view from the mountaintop if you were born on the summit? Does the rose of victory smell as sweet as if you've ever breathed New Jersey air through the paper bag of shame? Can you feel the warm sun radiating off Trevor Lawrence's golden locks if you've ever never felt the bitter cold of Mark Sanchez running into a teammate's behind? You probably couldn't tell from these metaphors, but I'm thinking about the Jets specifically. While it has its own virtues, losing is what makes winning fun, too. The bad season bond true fans so together they can really celebrate a championship. As a Golden State Warriors diehard since 2014, I can tell you firsthand, losing to the Cavaliers in 2016 really made me appreciate the 2017 and 2018 titles even more. Granted, I'm a Los Angeles Lakers fan now, but I'm sure I'll enjoy the rebuild after LeBron James Jr. retires in 2044. Tweet the Mets. Page 14. The Mets haven't played a game under Stephen Cohen, but the fans already love him. For years now, the phrase LOL Mets, LOL Mets, propagated online in response to the many misfortunes of New York's less than successful baseball team. They traded the top prospect for Robinson, Cano, who got suspended for PED use. They included two living players in a memorial slideshow for deceased members of the 1969 World Series team. Yonis Cespedes broke his ankles after falling in a hole at his ranch. This all really happened. Now, however, the Mets have a new owner, Steve Cohen, the richest in Major League Baseball, and he's already doing his part to make sure people are laughing with the Mets, not at them. Cohen has jumped on social media to interact with fans. Money can't buy you everything, but it does afford you the ability to make jokes on Twitter and not care what people think. Some of the new King of Queens' best replies have been copied above your amusement. Question, would you rip a Picasso in half for a World Series ring? Stephen Cohen, can it be an inexpensive one? Steve, not sure your department, but can we get lavender air fresheners in the bathrooms at Citi Field? Stephen Cohen, I was afraid someone would ask me bathroom questions. Question, how do you like being owner so far? Haven't lost a game yet. Birthdays. January 2nd, San Diego Padres shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr. turns 22. January 12th, Alicia Gray of the Dallas Wings is 26-year-old. January 13th, Oilers captain Connor McDavid celebrates his 24th birthday. January 16th, Los Angeles Lakers first baseman and designated hitter Albert Pujols turns 41 years old. January 22nd, Philadelphia Eagles offensive lineman Jason Peters is 39-year-old. February 8th, Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones is 32. February 10th, outfielder Max Kepler of the Minnesota Twins turns 28. February 14th, professional surfer Caroline Marks is 19 years old. February 19th, Team USA softball catcher Deja Mulopolo turns 23. And finally, February 22nd, Atlanta Hawks point guard Rajon Rondo is 35. Warm-up. Interviewed by Kid reporter Emma Abramson. The Grid. So we have here Cleveland Cavaliers center Andre Drummond, science guy Bill Nye, and Vanderbilt kicker Sarah Fuller. All right, favorite emoji for Cleveland, for Andre Drummond, it's the butterfly. For Bill Nye, it's the emoji wink. And for Sarah Fuller, it's the emoji big smile with tears. What other job would you most like to have, Andre Drummond? I say being an actor because I love to entertain people. Bill Nye says I'd engineer antennas. Sarah Fuller, hospital administration. Favorite movie growing up? Andre Drummond. I loved all of Tyler Perry's Madea plays and movies. Bill Nye, King Kong versus Godzilla. But I was greatly influenced by the James Bond movies. Sarah Fuller, Beauty and the Beast and A Bug's Life. Well, what are you most looking forward to in 2021? Andre Drummond, I'm really looking forward to having a healthy, successful year both on and off the court. Bill Nye, things going back to normal. Hiring government employees who will work together to make the world better for everyone. And Sarah Fuller, a vaccine and graduating from Vanderbilt in May. Favorite fictional character? Definitely Thor. I love lightning from Andre Drummond. Tom Swift, Bill Nye, and Katniss Everdeen, Sarah Fuller. Favorite athlete growing up? Andre Drummond, Shaq. He was so versatile with his craft. Bill Nye, Charlie Taylor, receiver from the Washington football team. And Sarah Fuller, the entire United States women's national team, especially the goalkeeper, Hope Solo. What's the best advice a mentor ever gave you? Andre Drummond, never limit yourself. Astronomer Carl Sagan told me that science resonates with kids. Don't be nervous when change comes your way. Adapt quickly and roll with the punches. Favorite season? Andre Drummond, summer. Bill Nye, summer. Sarah Fuller, summer. And finally, if you could show an alien one thing from Earth, what would it be? I show them a national parks. Summer, pencil paper. VR headsets. The alien would say, what? You're the alien. And I would say, no, you're the alien. Continuing with warm-up, future star Bryce Wetstein. His birthplace was Encinitas, California. His birth date was January 10th, 2004. His sport, skateboarding. When Bryce steps onto her skateboard, she goes into discovery mode. You aren't required to fall in someone else's territory, she said. I always think like it's magic and imagination. So I say, imagination. She can get lost practicing on the vert ramp or the iguana bowl in her backyard, right? The latter honors the family's late 22-year-old pet iguana, Spike. In October 2019, Bryce won the Women's Park National Championship and became the United States' top-ranked park skater, putting her in contention to make the Olympic team. She resumed her qualifying efforts in 2021. The first year skateboarding will be in the Summer Games. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a sports kid of the month, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskid@si.com. Become a published author. Judges Rob Covington, Houston Rockets, Elise Johnson, Indiana Pacers, Jalen Mills, Philadelphia Eagles, and George Springer, Houston Astros. Student book competition is open to students in grades K to 12. Books must incorporate the theme anti-bullying. Win $500 for your team, $250 for your teacher project coordinator. Drawing Snowballers, Art Attack, page 18. Toronto-based comic artist and illustrator Keegan McLeod takes us behind the scenes of the creation of last issue's NBA action comic, Snowballers 3, Shake Up. S.I., kid, how long did it take you to draw Snowballers 3? It was long. Let me get the calculator out. I'll say 30 hours total. Which was your favorite Snowballers character to draw? James Harden is really fun to draw. Physical attributes like a big beard make it easy to make him recognizable when you're doing the little panels. Someone like Russell Westbrook is a little harder because he's just kind of like plainly handsome, so it's more subtle. How did you design the costumes? Obviously, it was kind of riffing on Game of Thrones. It kind of gets simplified as you draw panel to panel, and it has to be not too complicated because you have to draw it over and over again. The more bells and whistles you put on, the more you'll be kicking yourself by the time you're done. Inspired the design of the Jimmy Butler Heat lava monster. The Balrog scene from Lord of the Rings, and there's one Marvel where the Thor fights a character like that. That was a good inspiration. And we also talked about Moana. A great combo of all of these. Perfect for the Miami Heat. What scene gave you the best headache? Biggest headache was the middle speed inside of LeBron's stomach because there are several characters. Anything with multiple figures is hard, especially when they're not in the background characters. Splashy stuff like the first spread above is fun because you can go big. But when you have to draw lots of little things, it slows you down a little bit. What separates a pro artist from an amateur? Confidence. When you're not sure what you're doing, there's lots of sketch marks and chicken scratch if you're trying to draw something from a strange angle. It'll show if you don't understand where an ear goes, for instance. You might have to do some research. If you make it up, that'll show that you're an amateur. What's the most pleasurable part of the entire process? Reading it when you're finished. That's kind of the reward. To see it as a little mini animation, that's what keeps you going because you want to read it yourself. Contest. Snowballers. The Rockets are rebuilding. You know what that means. We need ideas for Snowballers 4. Submit a one-page comic to artgallery@si.com with the subject BSB4, and you could win huge prizes. Everyone knows we're in the middle of the 2021 Australian Open, and now we begin with tennis, power couple. While others play the field, these stars found their Valentines playing on the field or the court. Many married couples, around 2 in every 10 in the United States, meet at work. Beyond the obvious reasons co-workers date, they spend a lot of time together. There's a possibility that their jobs represent a shared interest. It makes sense that professional athletes would get along. No marriage has as much star power in a single sport as the union of Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf. He, an American, is an 8-time Grand Slam winner who spent 101 weeks ranked as world number one. She, from Germany, spent 377 weeks at number one, a tennis record for both men and women, and boasts 22 Grand Slam titles of her own. Before you ask, their son Jaden actually plays baseball, and he has committed to USC. Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird. When Sue Bird and the Seattle Storm won the 2020 WNBA championship, it continued an incredible run for the Emerald City's most famous sports couple. Rapinoe, of course, took home the golden boot and the golden ball of the 2019 World Cup. This year, they could become the first same-sex couple to compete for Team USA at the Olympics. Penny Taylor and Diana Taurasi. Diana Taurasi, above right, is the rare professional athlete married to her coach. Penny Taylor, above left, was Taurasi's teammate for 10 seasons in Phoenix, where they won 3 championships together. Now Taylor is an assistant coach for the Mercury, while Diana is still at the point guard. Mia Hamm and Nomar Garcia-Parra. For kids who grew up in the 90s, no sports couple could be more famous. Hamm, a soccer star, led the legendary Niners who won the 1999 World Cup. Garcia-Parra that same year batted 357 and 104 RBIs while playing shortstop for the Boston Red Sox. Now they are part owners of Los Angeles Football Club. Lauren and Drew Holiday. The Holidays, Drew and Lauren Duchesne, met at UCLA, where they both played for the Bruins. Individually, they've compiled awards like the NBA Teammate for the Year and NWSL Most Valuable Player. Together, they've launched their Social Justice Impact Fund. They have a daughter, True Tyler Holiday, and welcomed a new baby late last year. P.K. Subban and Lindsey Vonn. If Bird and Rapinoe are the ultimate Summer Olympic couple, Subban and Vonn can be the king and queen of the Winter Games. Subban won a hockey gold in 2014 with Team Canada. Vonn topped the podium for America in 2010 in Vancouver, when she posted a 1.4419 time in downhill skiing. And next week, we will begin with James Wiseman, center, Golden State Warriors. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.